This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 608, recorded Thursday, November 17th, 2022, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. So we are back. I wish there was more to talk about. It was a slow 2 weeks. So, Jerry, how was your 2 weeks away from me?
It seemed like forever.
Yes, I know. I didn't get my weekly Jerry fix, and I was very disappointed.
I just been working like 20 hours a day, so it's been a long 2 weeks.
Well, hopefully things will get slower. I went on vacation.
Really?
Well, remember, I haven't done much of that this year.
No, you haven't.
They kept me very busy in the summer, and so you know how it is. When it slows down, I'm going to take that time off, and then before you know it, it's November, and you're saying, "Wait a minute, I have too many days off, and I'm not going to lose them." So I went to California.
California.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah, it's right back where I started from.
And how was that?
No, that's how the song goes. Were you asking how I started in California or how was my vacation?
How was your vacation?
There were pros and cons. I took a train, but part of the train route washed out. Don't worry, they'll fix it by next month. It'll only cost them $20 million.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I'm very happy that the train tracks that I wanted to travel on did not fall into the sea while I was on the train.
Right?
There's a important stretch of track that they're considering in the long term moving further inland. It's a very beautiful stretch that runs along the water. And unfortunately, they discovered that it was starting to shift the ground below it, and it would come to the point where it could shift so much that the train would effectively, fall down a cliff above the water. So they suspended trains for 2 months, and they're going to drive some metal piles in to make sure that the tracks do not fall down the cliff. Which is a good thing.
I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah. So I had to take a bus. It had a train number on it, though. So I took a train, then they said, this is the end of the line, you have to change for the bus, and then when you get to the end of the bus, you can get back on the train. They call it a bus bridge.
Interesting.
So I did that. I went to the zoo. Because why not?
Sure.
Well, nice. I was enjoying nice weather, so why not do an outdoor activity? Took a walk around a unfamiliar city. Rained a bit. The usual stuff. Listened to people complain about a little rain and 61 degree temperatures. Apparently that's wet and freezing for them.
Yes, anything under 70 is unacceptable.
Yes, I know you live in Florida where anything under 70 is also acceptable, like those Californians, but you wouldn't necessarily say the same thing about the rain. A little rain and suddenly nobody wants to go anywhere.
Okay, true enough.
Yeah, but again, so I had experiences and then I came back and on Sunday, I took the red eye on Saturday night, got back Sunday morning, and have spent the last 4 days sort of dealing with the effects of jet lag. I'm out of practice. It's been a few years since I've changed time zones, so I just forgot all of my tricks for coping with that. So I feel better now, but I there were some home automation trials while I was away.
Some what?
Home automation trials.
What's a home automation trial? What is this?
Okay, well, did I tell you...
like trials and tribulations?
Did I tell you about the situation with the keypad?
There's a keypad situation?
Okay, so I have...
Why do I not know what's going on?
I don't know. Maybe it's because you don't remember me telling this, or I don't remember if I told you. One of those. So this starts, you know that I have Home Assistant instances in three different locations that I manage?
Yes.
So one of them is where my family has a home upstate where I've spent a lot of time, as you know, recording with you. And there, my brother brings his children who do not have phones, and occasionally my parents send in a cleaning lady who also does not have something I can track. So I needed a way to turn off all of the alarm stuff that I put in, so I installed the Ring keypad, which is a Z-Wave keypad, so it could send its signals into Home Assistant. So I had my first trial on that earlier this month when I got a message that the local cleaning lady had come into the house upstate and apparently could not get the ringing alarms to go off.
So it was a fail?
Well, I'm going to consider it an alpha test, and we'll improve it in the next iteration. I've already shipped a few improvements, but I don't think I can ask her to come back to see whether or not it works properly the next time. So I'm going to go up there for Thanksgiving. So I'm going, my brother will bring his kids. So I'm going to ask one of them to simulate being a cleaning lady. As in, do enter the building without an approved device and try to deactivate the system using the keypad. It worked in testing. But then it comes to, I just ordered and installed a keypad here in my apartment because of what happened this week after I got back. I went to work on Monday, and even though I do track my parents' phones because they let me install software on it to tell whether or not they're in one of these three zones around the Home Assistant instance, somehow they set the thing off and we're actually sitting here for like 2 hours with alarms going off. Because I was not checking my phone. So I better fix that.
Okay.
But the keypad is really nice. It has a whole bunch of features that normally work with the Ring system. So when they have statuses that are sent to Home Assistant when a user starts entering a code, enters a code but didn't press enter, before the timeout, where they hit enter, where they hit the disarm button, the arm away button, the arm stay, the fire, police, medical buttons. And there are modes for it to say automated messages.
Right.
So you can have the keypad say disarmed, code not accepted, arm stay, armed away, generic alarm. So I can make it make alarm noises.
Like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Essentially, they have a burglar alarm, a generic alarm, a smoke alarm, and a carbon monoxide alarm. And then sensors require bypass. What's
the difference between all those, and why is that necessary? Do you really need an alarm, which is a different alarm between smoke and carbon monoxide? They both mean get out.
They also have notification sounds. I can do an electronic double beep, a guitar riff, wind chimes, echoey bing bong, and the Ring doorbell chime.
An echoey bing bong.
I did not write the instructions.
I just find that funny. It's an echoey bing bong.
Yeah, so it is a notification device. So I just have to essentially hook that up so that Home Assistant will send the correct notification noise whenever I want it to do something. So I was doing some tests earlier. I just have to, again, get everything right. I also have to, maybe I should test the echoey bing bong.
Bing, bong.
Yeah, according to that, I have to send in the code 99.
Okay.
It also has an entry and an exit delay program, where there'll be a little indicator on it about how close you are to the end of your entry or exit delay before the alarm will go off and play alarm and flashlights. So the other nice thing is because it doesn't know what the correct code is, it sends the code to Home Assistant. I could have a variety of different codes that do a variety of different things.
Cool.
Yep. So as I said, I'm gonna keep iterating on it. But that's one of my fun little projects. Because I like fun little projects. And I do not want either the cleaning lady who I've known for many years or my parents to have to suffer through a lot of beeping noises because I messed up the program. I think that's the least I can do. Actually get it working correctly. At least I hope that's the least I can do.
I bet it can.
I also keep thinking about upgrading to Wi-Fi 6. Do you have any thoughts on that, Jerry? I guess not.
I mean, it's cool, but...
No, cool is sort of 6E, where you get the extra frequency.
I don't know.
You know, technology needs to march on. Also, I found out that a bunch of things went down because one of my two access points had to be restarted for some reason. Because things weren't connecting to it. Anyway... So not much happened while I was away. You know, I read, I had plenty of time on the long flight in each direction to catch up on all of my reading. And I only found a few things that happened over the course of the 2 week period.
Maybe everybody else was also taking
a vacation?
Yes. That word. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay. So let's see what happened. Google Chat added a scheduled do not disturb option. So you can set a recurring schedule so you are not disturbed by chat notifications on any of your platforms if you're using Google Chat.
Wow, really? That's
cool. Yeah. Their example is you can mute notifications during your regular lunch break or have set do not disturb immediately over the weekend.
Actually kind of cool.
Yeah. There's an article about how predictive back navigation will work on Android 14. Remember gesture navigation, which I've sort of gotten used to, despite the fact I still miss the buttons. So the idea is, again, predictive support, where you can essentially... see a preview of where you're about to navigate to using the back gesture.
Interesting.
Here's one. The Google Nexus 4 was released 10 years ago. I still feel bad about the Nexus 4.
What is that?
Well, I wanted to try one, and there was somebody who... was nice enough to loan me theirs, and they shipped it to me, and I sent it back to them, and somehow it disappeared with FedEx.
Mm-hmm. Disappeared, you say?
Yes, they reported that they left it with reception at the person's home, except the person doesn't have any reception because they're at home. Mm-hmm. And I offered to, you know, buy it. Was he had got moved on to a new phone, which is why he loaned me the Nexus 4 to try, and I ended up buying the Nexus 5 for. I offered to buy him an equivalent phone. He declined, so I still feel bad about it. Oh, well. It's clearly been a while. But either way, it was a very nice phone, and it convinced me to buy a Nexus 5, which I enjoyed very much. The Nexus 5 was my first Google-ish phone. You also had a 5, didn't you?
I did, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
So did I, until the day it died. Oh, my poor 5. Anyway, those were the days. But
those were the days, you say?
Yeah. And that was 10 years ago now. We've been doing this show a long time.
We have.
Yep.
Kind of amazing.
And one other bit of news, which is somewhat off topic, and I stopped sorting things into categories. Maybe I should start doing that again. Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman, has passed away.
No.
Do you remember him?
No.
He started voicing Batman during the 1992 animated series and apparently continued voicing Batman until the end of his life. So he was very well known for Batman voicing.
That's an interesting thing to be known for.
Why not?
Sure.
I try to diversify in the things that I pick up that are not strictly technology related. Anyway, let's see here. What else is going on? The new Gmail user interface is now the standard interface, so very soon you will not have the opportunity to go back to the original view.
Really? I didn't hardly even notice a change.
Well, I think you sort of opted in very early on. But anybody who stayed on the old version is just going to have to deal with it. If you are an Android or Chrome OS user, which, Jerry, again, you already have this thing, LumaFusion is making its way to Android and Chromebooks. It is already on iOS. So this is a video editing app that is very popular. By the way, just to show you how popular it is a $20 app. And you don't see that many $20 phone apps.
It's true.
So that isn't necessarily a reflection, because clearly writing a video editor for a phone is a challenge.
Oh, yeah, I can. Yeah, certainly.
So definitely I can understand why that would be a premium product.
Probably want to run it on a... on a top-of-the-line phone as well.
Is my phone still top-of-the-line?
Probably not.
I don't know. Just because I'm one pixel behind.
Pixel 6?
I have a 6. That's only one pixel behind.
Yeah. Well, the 6 was not really a flagship phone in the to begin with. Mm. Right?
I don't know. I don't think it was that. I think the 5 sort of was a little reversion, but I don't think the 6 was that.
Bad, it's not. I'm not saying it's a bad phone.
It was the first. It was the first one that used the Google's own chip, the Tensor.
The what?
It was the first phone that used the Google Tensor chip as the chipset.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, YouTube. Remember them?
I do remember YouTube.
They celebrated 80 million global premium and music subscribers. Are you a subscriber? That's it. Do you pay YouTube for YouTube?
I do. Used to be YouTube Red. Yes. Yeah.
What number did they lock you in at?
I think I pay $19 a month for my family.
Okay, so you're on the family plan. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, so that is what they have done. They are celebrating 80 million. They also increased the price of the family plan by $5. Recently.
Oh my God, they did what? Those jerks.
Yeah. So apparently it's increasing from $17.99 to $22.99 sometime on or after the 21st of this month. Sorry.
Oh, well, it's... You know, there's not a lot that subscription wise that I pay for that I think, oh, this is so very much worth it.
YouTube not having to watch it. Ads.
Is very much for the.
Yeah. Well, I sort of realized that when I was watching Hulu. So I was able to get a discounted subscription to Hulu and was watching stuff. And the ads were driving me crazy. They are still driving me crazy, but I have finished my Hulu watching for a bit. They had a classic program that I was feeling nostalgic about, and I decided to rewatch. But they were showing me all sorts of ads, and I was sort of saying, okay, how many times can I see this ad? And why do they think it's going to influence me? By the way, I'm still reasonably certain that I am not the market demographic for female contraceptives.
Yeah, but how did they know that?
I'm aware of that. I'm just saying I wish they would stop showing it to me over and over again.
Yep, I know.
There's only so many times they can show an ad that doesn't help. Anyway, moving along, Jerry Hildebrand over at Android Central had a interesting article entitled, I told Google about an app with the most disruptive ads I've ever seen and was told to fix it myself. Subtitle, I'm not the Play Store janitor.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
And they apparently responded by saying, that doesn't sound good. If you are seeing inappropriate or excessive ads, please report this to the developer, as these aren't managed by Google Play. But isn't it a violation of their policy?
I don't know. Are disruptive ads a violation of their policy?
I think they do have a policy about appropriate ad usage.
I didn't know that.
Here we are. I'll quote, I figured that I would let the fine people running the Google Play account know there was an app published that decided the ads portion, policy portion of the developer agreement did not apply. We don't allow apps that contain deceptive or disruptive ads. Ads must only be displayed within the app serving them. We consider ads and their associated offers serving the app as part of your app. The app ads shown in your app must be compliant with all of our policies.
Well, I mean, maybe it's their guidelines, right? They're not rules. I mean, you can't expect Google to police, you know, to enforce their own rules, right?
Well, when you tell them that somebody is violating the rules, aren't they supposed to?
Well, what about all the people that are violating the rules that nobody tells them about? Then you're kind of punishing people for getting told on.
I don't know if I agree with that thought.
Okay.
I agree with it either. Yeah. So we talked about this a little before, but I wanted to come back to the Matter standard. So supposedly there are almost 200 items starting out with Matter out of the gate.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, Jerry, have you bought a Matter device?
No. Yep. Maybe something that'll be updated to Matter, because it seems like anything that uses Zigbee can be I do have Akara devices, but I don't have an Akara hub.
Yeah.
So am I conflating Matter
with Zigbee
and Thread?
No, that's Matter and Zigbee.
Well, I think Matter is like something above.
Yeah, it's a higher level protocol, but again, you would still need Matter compliant devices.
I don't think I have any.
Okay. Neither do I yet. But I don't know. Like anything else, I don't feel the need to rush because Home Assistant sort of ties everything together for me.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Moving back to mechanical keyboards. Remember, I mentioned that the people at Cherry had created a switch that was based on a suggestion in a forum from 15 years earlier. Apparently, yes. They have brought back another classic switch that essentially mimics the behavior of 80s terminal keyboards. So the switch in question was known as the Nixie switch, which was made in the 80s for German office machine manufacturer Nixdorf Computer AG. So they are bringing back something that was used, again, for 80s terminals, and apparently there were a lot of enthusiasts who liked this particular switch. So they're bringing it back, but I just like the geekery of it.
Mm-hmm.
All these different switches.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
and there are unbelievable number of types of switches.
Yeah, but when you look at essentially all of these little parameters that you don't really think about when you think about mechanical keyboards, the distance between the operating position and the reset position, the smooth travel, etc. It intrigues me.
Yep. I am still I've been unable to buy the Cherry MX Ergo Clears.
You wait long enough.
Well, sure, but from where? Where can I buy these? I want them.
I don't know. All I know is I put a mechanical keyboard on my desk at work, and my coworkers are unhappy. I told them that they want me to come into the office. I'd like to be as comfortable as possible, and nobody in my house complains about me typing. But anyway, jokes aside, in one final bit of things that I found while we were away, Roku introduced the save list. So it is a feature they've added to the latest version of Roku OS, where it will allow you to keep track of movies and shows you want to stream across channels on your Roku device. So essentially the feature that everybody else already has.
Right, but does that work across features?
That's what they're saying. They had a save list for just the Roku channel, which is their stuff.
Right.
But now they're integrating it so that you can, on the Roku home screen, see a list of things you have saved from various apps. So they're making it so you can add things to a save list for any of the streaming platforms that you have a channel for on Roku.
Interesting.
I thought so. So that is the end of all the things that I have to talk about. And I have a question for you, Jerry, because a week from today is Thanksgiving in the United States.
Yes.
Are you occupied?
I am. I'm going to be on a road trip.
Okay. So do you want to resume on December 1st?
Let's do that.
Okay. By the way, world, can you please put out enough news to justify 2 weeks?
Yeah, because this is kind of...
It's a slow season. It happens every year. Before you know it, we'll be complaining about all of the random stories coming out of CES.
Yes.
So, Jerry, enjoy your road trip. Where are you road tripping to?
I am going to visit my family in Texarkana, Texas, and then I'm going up to Memphis, and then I'm going to Nashville, and then I'm coming home.
Okay, well, I was in Nashville once.
Did you listen to country music?
No, I changed planes in the airport. It was a memorable experience.
Cool.
The only part of Tennessee that I spent more than changing planes in was when I went to a conference in Pigeon Forge and flew into Knoxville and drove. At least I don't think I was anywhere else in Tennessee. Not that I recall. I've also never been to Texarkana.
That's all right. Not many people have. Although lots of people have driven through it. They just,
I haven't spent much time in the general area. I don't know. What's close to Texarkana that I might have been
there? It's about 2.5 hours east of Dallas.
I was in Dallas once.
Did you watch the Cowboys play?
No, I went to a conference. So I flew in, went to a hotel, stayed in the hotel, left the hotel, went back to the airport, and left town. I regret not touring around. Oh, well. There's still time. Someday I could visit Texas again. Although there's so many different places to visit, you sort of ask yourself, how do you prioritize?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I did cross one off my list over the course of my vacation. I visited Oxnard.
I don't know what that is.
It's a place.
Okay.
I was in an industrial park in Oxnard. And before you ask why, I'm going to ask you why not.
Well, that's fair.
Got to go somewhere. Wasn't crowded. There was no line. So I will see everybody in 2 weeks. And Jerry, we will talk then. And hopefully I will get my alarm system tweaked a bit.
Oh, I found them.
You found what?
The Ergo Clears.
Okay. I look forward to your review.
They're on pre-order until the end of the year.
Okay.
Are
you going to pre-order them?
Piece.
Are you going to pre-order them?
I want to.
Okay. Why don't we make it a cliffhanger? Will Jerry order his switches? Or will he decide not to? Tune in next time for the conclusion to this amazing saga. No goodbye, Jerry?
I'm thinking. All right. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.
Y'all have a good week, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
And if you celebrate Thanksgiving, have an enjoyable Thanksgiving, and make sure that you thank everyone for having to put up with us every week.
And even if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
How about a good Thursday?
Good Thursday.
Also, if you're Canadian, we apologize for not wishing you a happy Thanksgiving previously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They do it early. What can I say?
Okay. That's cool. No worries. Fine.
Okay. Well, until next time, Jerry.
Until next time. Bye, folks.